on X-Ray FM. You're listening to Street Roots Radio. I'm Hannah Francis. This project is a collaboration between X-Ray FM, KBOO Radio, and local publication Street Roots. Street Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon, that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. Toby Douglas with KBOO Radio hosts this episode and is joined by Bruce Poinsett, local activist and author, and Street Roots correspondent, about his article, Let the Sunshine In. The Oregon Remembrance Project is working to elevate Black history and resistance in Southern Oregon with free guided trips for Black Portlanders.
Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Your story is about the Oregon Remembrance Project. For folks who don't know, what does the organization do?
Yeah, so the Oregon Remembrance Project is led by Taylor Stewart, and the work they do is around kind of reconciliation, specifically with, let's say, like a lot of like Oregon's anti-Black history. So their signature project is called the Sunrise Project, and they work in former sundown towns, specifically Ashland, Coos Bay, Grants Pass right now, though they're looking to expand. And they do projects in these towns to, one, work with the community, but also engage with history of anti-Black racism. And not just a lot of places like to just say, let's not talk about it. They kind of do the opposite, where creating real projects that engage people with the history and try to make it so that these places genuinely are a place where everyone can feel safe and feel like they have home there.
The project offers sunshine trips. I know you, what is the goal?
So with the sunshine trips, it's kind of a little offshoot of the Sunrise Project, but what they do is, Oregon Remembrance Project provides these two-night trips in these respective towns of Ashland, Coos Bay, and Grants Pass. Most recently, they did Ashland in May, and I think they're scheduled to do Coos Bay in August and Grants Pass in October. But with that, it's a few parts. So one is just providing a charter bus and taking Black Portlanders or Black organizers, specifically in the Portland metro area, down to these states, providing for lodging, and then you engage with local Black community, local racial justice organizers. And also in that time, in addition to engaging with the history, engaging with the community, participants also have some set aside time to, you know, engage with tourist activities in these areas. And I think one of the things in talking with Taylor Stewart is that his goal is to not, like I said, engage people with the history, engage people with the community, but also show that doing this reconciliation work also has genuine tourism benefits as far as supporting local restaurants, patronizing local businesses, going to see all the great natural places that Oregon has to offer as well. So it's really kind of showing that engaging with these sometimes difficult subjects to talk about is actually a win for everyone.
I don't know if you might have mentioned it, but what exactly is a sundown town for those who don't know?
Yeah, so sundown town basically is if you were Black in a town and the sun went down and people saw you, you could either be punished by, say, the police arresting you or you know, beating, costing you, but then you also risk potential vigilante violence and possibly, you know, being beaten up, being killed. So yeah, the moniker for sundown towns is basically you don't be, if you're Black, don't be seen in these places after sundown. And Oregon has spaces where they're kind of like more official sundown towns, which some of these Southern Oregon cities represent. But for me personally, like I grew up in Lake Oswego, which was considered more of a de facto sundown town. It's, you know, goes by the nickname that many still see it as, is Lake No Negro. And And you just have a lot of these places around Oregon where, whether it was more of a, I guess, more official is the way to put it, or again, like unofficial or just unspoken, but it's basically saying like, if you're Black, you're not safe in these towns in general, but then especially if you're, you know, caught again, when the sun goes down, it can be particularly dangerous for you.
You spoke with Taylor Stewart, the executive director of the Oregon Remembrance Project, and he says on the 300th anniversary of the United States, Oregon should be a main character for understanding the advancement of racial justice. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, so one of the things Taylor really emphasizes is that, you know, we just saw the America 250 celebrations over the weekend. And in a lot of these commemorations, there's very little talk about Oregon, frankly, at all. But then, especially its history, is the only state to pass laws excluding Black people. And I think, or I should say, one of the things I like Taylor, again, really emphasizes is that this history should be known not just in Oregon, which it's not nearly as well known as it should be, but also throughout the country and the world, because that's just, one, it's a unique distinction, but also for the Black people who resisted, who stayed here, I mean, literally just existing here was an act of resistance, but for so many people who stayed here, built place here, and have pushed through in spite of not just these exclusion laws, but the way they live on in different legacies, whether it's redlining, you know, over-policing, mass incarceration, mass displacement to this day, isolation, you know, you can see in, again, like the very low population numbers in so many places, even in Portland, which, you know, has the largest concentration of Black people, but that's only around maybe 6%, I believe, last time I checked. So when Taylor talks about wanting to make Oregon a main character, you know, some of this reconciliation work that they're doing in these Southern Oregon towns, it's not just, how can I put it? You know, it has the potential to be, I think, a potential blueprint for this work throughout the state, but, you know, also in other parts of the country where they also struggle with engaging with this history. And I think for Oregon, especially, is a place that's kind of looked at with like a more liberal reputation, even though it's, you know, it's very, it's a lot of very conservative parts of the state. And, you know, once upon a time, talking about Oregon is like the Klan capital of the West, you know. The idea that, again, like people can do this, not just reputation changing, because I think that's really superficial, but actually creating spaces where these once former sundown towns are places where Black communities can build things, where Black communities can feel like they're actually welcome and home. That's very, I said, landscape changing work. Again, work that can be, at least from my understanding, talking with them, like potentially a blueprint, really, for a lot of people doing this work, not just in Oregon, but again throughout the country. And hopefully that story is, again, in, you know, in 50 years when we're telling the American story, I agree with Taylor that I think Oregon needs to be a main character in that.
What are some of the activities that the Sunshine Trip participants experience on their trips?
Yeah, so the first stop we did was at artist Micah Blacklight's studio, and Micah is working on a permanent art installation, Ancestors Future, Crystallizing Our Call, which is about a 10 to 12 foot tall sculpture of, hopefully I do it justice here, but sort of like, there's a Black man with a winged Black man that's going to sit in Ashland's Railroad Park. And a quick backstory, the sculpture itself was inspired by a Say Their Names memorial that was put up in 2020 to honor victims of police violence specifically, or police and extrajudicial violence, I should say. So George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and it was repeatedly vandalized. And then finally in 2021, you know, a coalition came together and began pushing for a permanent installation you know, permanent art installation that, you know, does the work of the memorial, but then also, you know, just, again, cannot be repeatedly vandalized, repeatedly taken down. So we got to talk with Micah, see kind of an early version of that, learn some more of the story behind it. Later that night, we attended a private dinner with members of the local Ordnance Remembrance Project chapters and BASE, which stands for Black Alliance and Southern, or Black Alliance and Social Empowerment, and is a group that was founded by Vance Beach, a former Southern Oregon University student who decided to stay in Ashland and was committed to just building something that could really serve the Black community. So whether that's youth groups, and their youth groups called the Afro Scouts, but then also working with different aspects of local government, creating community events, you know, putting on just a lot of like social gatherings and really looking really as a hub for Black community in the region. So not just Medford and Ashland, but again, Grants Pass, Coos Bay, you know, Central Point, Talent, Phoenix. And so we went to private dinner to get to know them before the Say Their Names vigil, which is part of the lead up to the unveiling of Michael Blacklight's sculpture, which is supposed to come out in 2027. And with the vigil, it honored, again, victims of police and extrajudicial violence, both those that are nationally known, but then also those that are more locally known in Oregon. So like a Quinise Hayes, a Kendra James, Aiden Ellison, who was, you know, former Ashland high school student who was killed in 2021. And it was just, you know, it was somber, but it was also, I think, it was interesting. I think really when I talk with other attendees on the trip, I think they were really struck by not just the amount of Black community members, whether it be part of BASE or just in general who came through, some who spoke as part of the program, but really like the sense of, the real sense of community they felt in talking with them, the sense of home that I don't think, like, if you don't know what's happening, if you're in Portland and you don't really hear about what's happening in other parts of the state, you just wouldn't expect. So that was night one. Day two, we went to, we had some set aside time to, you know, explore downtown Ashland before attending a showing of A Raisin in the Sun at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And then following that, we got to talk with one of the stars of the show, Lynette Freeman, not just about the show itself, but then also the experience of people, Black actors in the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, because a lot of people are coming for maybe these 10, 6-month runs. And they're coming from all over the country. One of Lynette Freeman's, you know, co-stars, a 10-year-old, who, you know, they brought their family out to stay. You know, they have a special arrangement with the school, you know, to work around rehearsal schedules. But it was interesting hearing about how both like Oregon Shakespeare Festival, but then like groups like BASE and others provide support for these actors, these families who probably know very little about Southern Oregon or Oregon in general, and maybe come from very, very different places to, again, like find support, find community in this area. So that was day two. Day three, we did a, before coming back, driving back up to Portland, did a bus tour with some local Oregon Remembrance Project members, just to see some of the sites that we kind of talked about in the stories before. So whether it be like Ashland's Railroad Park or going to Ashland High School, where there's a mural project honoring the number of current and historical figures. So for example, Aiden Ellison is depicted, but then there's also like Gina Duquesne, who's the currently serving and the first Black city councilor in Ashland. It's also Walida Imarisha, who's currently teaching at Portland State University and has done a lot of presentations around the state, including on why there's so few Black people in Oregon and really engaging with that history. So, you know, we got to travel around the town, learn just a little bit more on this bus tour, and then, you know, drive back up to Portland. That was the trip.
You spoke with a number of folks who have taken these trips. What did they find the most impactful?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it kind of, depending on the person, it's, you know, you get like different takeaways. So as I mentioned, one of the people I talked with, Antoinette Edwards, who's, you know, very recognized, honored, respected community advocate here in Portland. And she was really struck by the vigil in part because with the work she did with the city, you know, she knows those people who were killed by the police. She knows the families of those people, and seeing them honored, you know, when I talked with her, that was one of the things that really stuck out to her. But then also, again, that sense of community among Black people down the area really stuck out. You know, when I talked with Beth Blumquist, you know, she was kind of struck by A Raisin in the Sun and just, you know, the power of the play, but then also Lynette Freeman's just comments and insights about getting integrated into Ashland. With like Pamela Slaughter, who also runs People of Color Outdoors. You know, her father used to be in the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, was, you know, performing down there for 21 years straight. And, you know, she used to come down all the time, but this was actually her first time coming back since then to Ashland anyway, but she had done some stuff for People of Color Outdoors in Coos Bay. And she was another one who was really struck by just, you know, the sense of community down there. For Tori Blackwell, who's had never stayed in stayed in Southern Oregon, but, you know, does organizing work with Unite Oregon City and works with, you know, different bodies with Clackamas County and the city of Oregon City as well, and teacher at Clackamas Community College. You know, he was really struck by base and just like what they had built up. One of the things Vance just talked about while we were down there was that they have their connections, their contact list that they built up over the years is like 2,000 Black people, which, again, for the population down there and what you have to do to even just like build up these lists is astonishing, frankly. And, you know, so for Tori, one of the things he really talked about was like, how do we get these places, whether it be, you know, in Ashland, Grants Pass, but also, you know, people doing this work in Oregon City, doing it, you know, maybe in Beaverton, Hillsboro, Forest Grove, and Gresham, of course, Portland, and, you know, all over the state. How do we get a convening to share this knowledge and connect these different communities doing very similar work? So I think in short, it, you know, I think a lot of people were struck by the community, but also I think it got a lot of synapses firing of like, how do we connect these dots? How do we, you know, not just share these stories, but build on the work we're doing and, you know, create opportunities for people doing very similar things to have more collaboration? Because otherwise we just kind of, I think without that, we tend to operate in silos, and there's not a lot of, you know, when you're looking for grant funding, when you're looking for bigger support, there's not a lot of attention or priority, I should say, that's not really prioritized there. So just a desire for more of that.
Why does the ORP specifically want to invite Black Portlanders to Southern Oregon?
Well, I think a lot of, just a lot of Black Oregonians in particular and Black Portlanders especially, just because like it's a more urban area, we don't really feel comfortable, safe exploring one, just like natural places out here, but then also like these more rural areas. And there's, often an assumption that there's no black people here. Even again, I grew up in Lake Oswego, which is right next door to Portland. And I can tell you to this day, I meet people who are surprised that we exist out there. So it's an opportunity to kind of, one, break through those myths, but beyond just being like, oh, black people exist, it's an opportunity to again, like, see this very powerful placemaking work, this community building work, this activism work, this historical preservation work that is happening in these different communities, and build with the people doing it. So, and just an opportunity as well, again, to, feel more at home throughout the state, because you can't travel from Portland to an Ashland, to a Coos Bay, to a Grants Pass, or even we go outside of the Sunshine Trips for a second, but like go to Eastern Oregon, go through the gorge, go through, Hell's Canyon, go down to Central Oregon, driving through Warm Springs, going to the coast. Like, you can't go to these places without engaging and just seeing and taking in all this natural beauty. And that should feel, everyone should feel like that's accessible to them. So when I talked with Taylor, that was really a point he highlighted, even from like his own personal experience of just always feeling like more identifying with Portland than identifying with the state when he was growing up, and not really traveling and seeing and engaging and feeling like this was his too until he was doing this Oregon Remembrance Project work and traveling down to these places.
What are the key takeaways from this, do you think?
Well, first that, powerful organizing work being led by Black Oregonians is happening throughout the state. Secondly, that again, this it's imperative, and it's frankly in the best interest of not just Black Oregonians, but everyone, to engage and actually like reconcile with Oregon's very anti-Black history, not just history, but present, frankly. Not just for the sake of having hard conversations, but doing this work, doing these projects, it has benefits, as we talked about earlier, even just for tourism, it has benefits for strengthening community and strengthening our education and understanding of Oregon as well as the world around us.
If our listeners are interested in learning more, where can they find your article?
Yeah, so the article will be appearing in Street Roots this week. So if you're out around Portland, see a Street Roots vendor, you can pick it up in person, but also go to streetroots.org and yeah, you can find it. Let the sun shine in.
Do you have any final thoughts for those who are listening?
Yeah, so just I mentioned Aiden Ellison earlier, and there was actually a recent update in that case. So Aiden was killed by Robert Keegan in 2021 over a dispute over, or in 2020, I should say. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not pretty sure it's 2021, so I don't know if you want me to like start that over again.
You're fine. If you want, just pick up where you think you can remember, you can just say like 2020, 2021.
Okay. So I would say just one thing I'd like to add is it's a little bit more because there's an update on the Aiden Ellison case. He was killed by Robert Keegan over a dispute over loud music. So Aiden was 19 at the time. Keegan is now 53, and Aiden's a young black man. Keegan's white. But yeah, so Keegan was originally convicted of manslaughter and was serving a 10-year sentence. But I believe a couple of weeks ago, Oregon Appeals Court ruled that there needed to be a retrial based on an improper instruction on self-defense that was given basically like one sentence out of all the, I believe, 35 pages of jury instructions. So, you know, he's going to be free and there's going to be a retrial on the manslaughter charges. And it's actually highlighting something because a very similar thing happened with the case of Ian Cranston, who, another white man who killed a black man, Barry Washington Jr., outside of Ben nightclub in 2021. And that case where Cranston was also convicted of manslaughter and was serving a 10-year sentence. And the Oregon Appeals Court ruled that there's an improper instruction on self-defense. There's one sentence that, you know, called for a retrial back, I believe, last November. And, you know, it's caused, in both communities, it's caused a lot of unease and anger. And I think it's important to note this pattern. It's very interesting that these cases just happening very close to each other, and the developments are, you know, eerily similar. So just want to make sure people are aware of that. I think especially when I think about BASE and, you know, the work they're doing in Ashland and Medford, and so much of their work, you know, on social media, for example, they post a lot of like their Afro Scouts activities. And it's, you know, it's a wonderful, inspiring thing to, you know, see kids doing just these like group activities, whether it be like, you know, something like archery or hiking, drumming. And, you know, it can give you the impression that everything is positive and we just want to focus on the positives. But there's also, I think, part of the reason you have some of these strong grassroots groups is because the backdrop is this still a very anti-black atmosphere. And that's why not just do they exist to support the community, but why you have Oregon Remembrance Project trying to do this work to, again, like help people reconcile and create spaces where people feel safe. Like it's important that these activities exist, but I think the thing that people, we have to be wary of is when outside groups, you know, local governments, frankly, you know, white-led institutions, community members see the existence of these activities, see the existence of these groups, and think the job is over. So I think I want to make sure that we also highlight that and highlight that the juxtaposition between these this very powerful work that's happening, and frankly highlight the need to support it, comes from the fact of, you know, this atmosphere where a lot of people really don't feel safe.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you talking about the letting the sunshine in and letting people know what's going on.
Thanks again for having me.
That was Bruce Ponset, Street Roots senior correspondent, speaking with me about his newest story for the paper. It's called Let the Sunshine In. Oregon Remembrance Project is working to elevate Black history and resistance in Southern Oregon with free guided trips for Black Portlanders. More information is online at streetroots.org. You're listening to Street Roots Radio on X-Ray FM. I'm Toby Douglas.